look in your direction, but you pay me no attention to you. I know you don't listen to me, 'cause you say you see straight through me, don't you?
As a fugitive down here,
said, what do I know? Show me the right way to go. And the spies came out of the water. But you're feeling so bad, 'cause you know. And the spies hide out in every corner. But you can't touch them, no.
Welcome back. Again, this is MutinyRadio.fm. You're listening to Friends with Genefits. I'm your host, Jen Eros, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation today. My dear friend Randall Dark has been in touch with me over the past year and a half, and I'd love to catch up with what he's got going on now. No Ordinary Connection. I was on stage32.com, and he was one of the welcoming people there for one of the Introduce Yourself weekends. And when I found out how much he's been involved in, and he asks me, Jennifer, how can I help you? That just starts off everything, doesn't it? To be welcoming, to be accessible, and there is nothing over the course of time that has changed my opinion on this is his character, this is who he is. So he has some phenomenal things and insights to share. I'd love for you guys to be listening in. Make sure when you go to mutinyradio.fm, hit that donate button. We are looking for some upgrades before our comedy festival coming up in March. We did have a microphone go out last week, but it seems to be working now. And grateful for anything that we can that can keep us going, because you know we do this for community, we do this for the world. We are not regulated by the FCC, so yeah, some of this stuff's not as filtered as, you know, you might need if you're listening at work from your laptop, but glad you're joining us anyway. You know, what is the freedom of speech without responsibility to the fact that we have things to say, we have truths to bring light to, and I now have a call from Randall Dark, so hang in there. Here's a little more Coldplay as I switch over. And on the phone we have today, Randall P. Dark. How you doing there, Randall?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am in agreement that you're fantastic, but you won't take that. You have no ego for it.
It's a beautiful day today.
Well, good. And you're in Austin, Texas today?
Yes, I am. In beautiful, well, outside of Austin, the rolling hills of Austin. That's where I live, and I have my office, and so every day is just a blessing. It's just so nice here, and the people are great, and I get to watch the sunset over the rolling hills of Austin, and it's a good place to be.
Excellent. Now, you're in Austin right now, but you told me a time ago when you were a teenager, you decided never to live someplace more than a few years. How has that worked out for you, and where have you been otherwise?
Well, yeah, when I started my traveling and working, like, I'm what's called a rainmaker, so basically wherever I live, is, you know, I write, direct, and produce theater, and then I got involved in high definition, et cetera, et cetera. But in the early years of my theater years, I started in Ottawa, and then I left Ottawa, and I moved out west, so Calgary, and I did shows in Calgary, I did shows in Banff, did shows in Edmonton, then came back into the States and New York City. I was there for a while, San Francisco, Los Angeles, I was there for a while. Now I'm in beautiful Austin, and my wife is from Georgetown, actually, which is north of Austin. So we're not moving anymore. We're here.
And you're
so
settled
no
in.
No more. No, we're settled in. We love our house. We love our neighbors, and it's close to the nieces and her parents. So this is where I am, and it's a great place to be.
That's excellent. So this is now your favorite place to be. What were some of the experiences in those travels that you're glad that you picked up along the way?
Well, when I lived in New York City, I worked out of the Ed Sullivan Theater. And, you know, one day we were doing some projects for MTV and Unplugged, and Aerosmith showed up, and I got to tour Aerosmith through the, you know, the the famous Ed Sullivan Theater. There's, you know, that's not too shabby.
That's not shabby at all. In fact, with my name Jen Eros, I figured if I had a backup band, they'd have to be called the Eros Myth. So
nice. I like that.
At some point, we'll work on the music, and I've got to put a band together first. So, no, but New York City, the Ed Sullivan Theater, isn't that the same place where David Letterman has also used that space?
Exactly. Yeah. It's been used and abused for many, many years. At one time, I think it was called the Hammerstein Theater, and it was in the early years. It was a legit theater house, and they turned it into a
illegitimate
studio.
Now it's illegitimate.
they turned it into a TV. You know, one of the first TV studios, and the rest is history. Some of the most amazing acts performed on that stage.
Wow.
Over the years, it's just
so
great.
When
it had a great history.
So when you were using that as your office space, what would a typical day look like? Who did you have working with you, and what were your projects like?
There was a variety of different things. We did a lot of shooting New York City, obviously, because it's such an amazing, you know, no matter where you look, downtown, uptown, crosstown, there's incredible buildings, incredible sights and sounds. So we did a lot of shooting and editing there. We had, you know, first-generation high-definition cameras and first-generation tape decks, you know, reel to reel, and it was just an incredible time doing everything from documentaries to fiction to music video. So it was, just whatever we thought of, we'd go and shoot it and do it. So it was a great experience. I cut my teeth in high definition in the Ed Sullivan Theater, so that's not too shabby.
Right. Well, and didn't you also take it to the NFL?
We shot one of the first, if not the first. I gotta check the record books. I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but if not the first, one of the first football games, and you know, we showed it to the different people that are involved in the NFL, and we shot hockey games. Did the same thing with hockey. We shot obviously soccer, which is a worldwide sport.
Yeah.
It's bigger than football. Hard to believe,
yeah.
But so yeah, I got to do a lot of the sporting events in high definition. So and I'm a huge sports fan. You know, I play every sport. I love sports. So you know, they had me at hello on that one.
Right. And don't you have some brothers also that are into sports that kind of got you involved?
Yeah, my older brother Brett was a really good hockey player and. And so he kind of supported me when I was, younger and taught me how to be better at what I was doing. And, so that I got, it's genetic, I guess. There's got to be some gene in there.
Well, it's always better to have a sport when you're sharing with somebody that you're close to, especially if you're going to beat them up. It's got to be a brother, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was the younger brother. Trust me, they all beat me up.
Yeah, I was the younger sister, so I learned all about football doing the flea flicker. I didn't know the flea. I didn't know I was
there
the flea.
Go.
But, no, we had a court across the street, and we get all the kids together. My brother was the tallest, so, of course, he was always the quarterback. And you'd use the bottle cap for your quarterback on your hand, so he was always the 7-up cap. And then would show the direction on his hand where he wanted you to go. So, yeah, the fake handoff to me was never quite as convincing as we hoped, but, you know, then he could pass it to the person he wanted to if I got to be enough of a distraction. So,
yeah.
But it was cool. I mean, 6 years older than me, you do what you can. I was involved. I was included. That was the best part. So,
yeah.
So you're the youngest of... How many?
Youngest of four. I have
all boys?
Older brothers.
All boys.
Yeah.
So anybody out there that you felt like you were following in their footsteps or their shadow, or everybody kind of went their own way? How would you describe that?
Everyone pretty well went their own way. You know, my brother Shane, who's a world-class sculpture artist, you know, I went into the theater and he went into the arts. And, you know, if you look at, if people are listening, if you Google search Shane, S-H-A-Y-N-E, Dark, D-A-R-K, you'll see his sculptures are spectacular. As a matter of fact, he just has three huge ones in Toronto, and one of them is I think 8 stories tall or 7 stories tall and punches through a building. It's definitely worth taking a look at.
Right, and wasn't he just recently, because this is when we reconnected after a period of time, you sent me a message that last night your brother Shane was inducted. Let me read this again. It just shrunk on me.
No, it hasn't officially happened yet, and we're keeping it quiet. So
Okay. Okay, so hopefully nobody's listening to my show. We'll just put it out there later that we knew in advance something. Shane's a great artist.
Yeah. He's a great artist.
Okay. Well, that's exciting, though. I mean, to see that they're doing well as much as, I mean, you've definitely forged your own way through life. But to me, it's always sounded in our conversations that you've been more than willing to share that adventure with the people around you. How did you get involved on sharing things about High Def or the other projects you were on?
Well, the thing is, it's part of its marketing. You know, one of my best friend, who happens to be my wife, in the early years of High Definition, when I had my company in Dallas, it's all about marketing. And if people don't read about you, you don't exist. So one of the things that was really important was to market the company. And Kristen was a good marketing, but also a really, really good producer. So you have, it's a team that you have. So when we would show up with, you know, a High Definition truck, we had the best engineers, we had the best producers, we had the best camera people that I could possibly find. What's sad is I got most of the credit, where it was really, really a team effort. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done all those fun things in High Definition, in the especially in the early years, without the incredible people that were working with me. And I will say they worked with me, not for me. You know, I think that's really important. It's how you treat people is so important.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately there's like a hierarchy at times, and you know, but I always went, my production assistant is just as important as my engineer and should be treated such.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's a good message for people that are listening, is that you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so make sure your weakest link is strong.
Right.
And by doing that is give them encouragement, give them good training, give them support. And at the end of the day, everyone's happy.
Yeah. And along with that, did you have some of the crew that would work together on multiple things, or did you find yourself changing it up based on what the product was that you were trying to create?
No, most of the time it was the same group of people, the same crew I'd try to take with me, because, you know, you get used to the team, and they work like clockwork together. And, you know, a lot of times the camera people would be booked, so you wouldn't have the exact same camera people. But, you know, talent is talent. There's one thing about this planet. There's a lot of very, very, very talented people out there. And you know, once you find them, you don't want to let them go. So I was blessed to be able to have some really good people with me.
Well, especially on some of the things that you were focusing on, I noticed that you did a lot of documentaries. Can you tell me about what spurred your interest, and how did the technology help to foster what you were trying to achieve?
Well, I think the best example of that is one we did a while ago called Macario is a Rising Tide, and I thought it was really important for us to do it for a number of reasons. It told the story of the school in the Dominican Republic, and why you need to feed children, why you need to educate them, and it's about the school and these people. And I firmly believe that when you saw this documentary on a high definition TV, a 70-inch TV, it's so real. It's like you're there, and you look at these kids, and because it's almost like you could reach out and touch them. They're that real. and if you evoke some sort of response, and you would go, you know what, I want to help those children. Mm-hmm. So you'll reach into your pocket and you'll pull out a few dollars, or you'll go or you'll volunteer, or it doesn't have to be that. You just Macarons. It could be anything, but because it was so real and so vivid, I believed it would touch you in a way that you would have to do something. And I think high definition, one of the great things about high definition, sure, sports are phenomenal, and you know, celebrity talk shows are fun because, you know, you see what they really look like. But I think one of the biggest things that have happened is documentaries, and not just mine. There's so many people like Joni and Kristen, and that go out and tell amazing stories. And whether it's a story about children or educational, like, you know, there's this friend of mine who's about to do a documentary about bees, for goodness sake, and how important, you know, the honeybee is, and we learn from them, and we share these experiences in a technology that makes you feel like you're there. So that's why I think it's so special now.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I dropped my phone onto the panel here. No, but I was remembering in trying to get that expression of need across to people, it really seemed you were bringing the technology to the level of the need to make it so tangible for people to really have the experience that they were trying to be a beneficial part of the results. So I thank you for that. You can use that tagline anytime. You know, Jen Arrow says, I was bringing the technology to the level of the need. So
that's great.
But you have a lot of other things that you've done for kids. And lately, don't you have a book in production that you're working on?
Yes. Many years ago, I used to write and direct and produce a lot of children's things. And then some people came across Telesasquatch, which toured Canada as a play, and they made it into an animated app that I really, really like, and they did a good job. And then I was going, you know, I want to do another one. I want to do something that has vertical integration. So what I'm writing right now, it's called Easter Frog, The Brains Behind the Bunny, and basically it tells the story of how the Easter Bunny came about, because I've talked to, 200 people. I've asked that same question. How did the Easter Bunny come about? And nobody knows. Well, I do. I know how it happened. And so I'm writing the book / play / screenplay right now. It's the first draft is done, and you know I'm going to do a second draft, and then I'll start showing it around and see what happens. But it's a parallel. It's really about children. That are struggling, and then they look in the mirror and they don't like what they see, and they get teased, and they, you know, how difficult it is being a young child nowadays because of cell phones and people are mean. And so I'm disguising it by the children are actually the frogs in the book.
Okay. But the brains behind the bunny. I know you don't want to give too much of the story away until it's all finished, but I really applaud that you are taking that focus towards the kids.
I think we have to, because it's tough out there, and people, even ourselves, we'll look in the mirror and we don't like what we see, so we hide who we really are by pretending were something else, and that's what the frogs do. They make bunny outfits and they crawl in the bunny outfits because everyone loves a cute poppy bunny, and bunnies are soft and cuddly
and acceptable.
So it breaks the frog's, and it breaks the frog's heart that they have to do this, but that's what they have to do to deliver the Easter eggs. They have to be in bunny outfits.
Wow. And that is difficult too, because trying to figure out the skin we live in. You know, is it what we were given, or is it who we become because of those trials out there, whether people are rejecting you or accepting you, and what you're willing to bend to in order to have that acceptance. So it's an interesting subject. I'm hoping that project, do you have any idea I know you're a perfectionist when it comes to your own special work. So how long do you see before this will be hitting the shelves?
As soon as I get funding. I'm looking for investors right now.
Okay. That's good to know. So if you guys are interested, get a hold of me and I can get you his information. But Randall, you also have a blog spot. Do you want to go ahead and give a shout out on that one real quick? They can follow you.
Yeah, they can follow the adventures. It's just, you know, a really good friend set this up for me, and it's a blog. It's Randall Dark Productions News. So if you go to Randall Dark News blogspot.com, and what's fun about it is it's got almost my entire history, starting from writing, directing, producing theater all the way to being interviewed for different magazines. And what I like about this is it's not what I say about me, it's what other people have written about me. Mm-hmm. So it's not my train of thought, or it's, if you click on any of the dates on the right hand side, it's an article telling you what I'm been doing.
Right.
Yeah, so it's fun.
So it's fine that other people are willing to talk about you in this way. That's great.
Well, I've been lucky, and blessed my entire career, where I get to do really interesting things, and people have been generous about writing stuff about it and putting it in different magazines. So, I think it's really, really important that we share our knowledge, share what we know. I think that so many times it's behind closed doors. You're not supposed to see behind you should let everyone look behind the door. Share the information.
So you would be Toto pulling the curtains back from the Wizard of Oz, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think we have to. We need. Now, don't get me wrong. I think there's some things I'll go, you really don't want to pull that curtain, because
right.
the magic is in what you see. But I think there are really good information in these articles that people could read and go, oh, that's how we did it. Oh, that's how he was able to do that. Oh, that's the technology he used. Because whether it's JVC or Sony or Mitsubishi or Samsung, all these wonderful companies that I've been able to work with, I want people to know that, that documentary I shot with the HD Sony camera, HD cam, and that one I shot with the JVC 4K, and that one I shot with, I think that it's beneficial for filmmakers to look at what other people are doing and learn from their mistakes. I'd rather learn from someone else's mistakes than learn from my mistakes.
Right. No, I really do appreciate everything that you have there when you go and check out the blog spot. But can you explain to me how you got on the cover of the same magazine as the First Lady of China back in the spring of 2014?
Oh,
which magazine was this?
It's a magazine out of China. That was part of education. I think it's really, really important that, film festivals happen, and Jeff Green has very good connections with the Chinese and the Chinese government. So we started a film festival, and we've done it twice. Hopefully we'll do it next year. We're trying to. It's tricky, but we've done it twice so far. And they wrote about it in this magazine, and they put both of us. I have a tiny little spot on the cover. It's mostly her.
It's mostly her.
Which it should be.
Well, yeah, considering it's still you on the cover with her. That's not bad. I mean, that's not shabby.
Yeah.
They're bringing the attention to your story in there also. But was that a surprise to you? I mean, obviously they did an interview. Did you know this was coming around that time, that she might also be on the cover?
And no, because you can just do things and move on.
Yeah.
So it worked out well. I'm not complaining.
Right, right. Anywhere you can spread the limelight, it doesn't hurt that badly.
I've been on the cover of Marquee magazine and videography, and I've been just so, as I said, blessed to get to do really cool projects, and people want to read and they write about them. So it's just a win-win.
Awesome. Beyond the book, what other things? I mean, I've noticed that you've been involved with over 200 films at this point. I don't have a full count because I'm sure you kept doing more since that was printed. Story involved in there. Something about knitting. I don't even remember half the movies that you've done something about. What draws you to a project like that? That, I mean, on the outside, just looking at the style, none of them seem really cohesive except for the fact that you were involved at some level.
Able to go, hey, I'm fascinated by everything, and if you surround yourself with really talented people, at the end of the day, the documentary won't suck because the people you're working with are really talented and really good.
Right.
And the thing is, too, I don't get bored easily because I'm doing so many different things. So when I show up on location to do a documentary about whatever, like the Albuquerque Balloon Festival, I got to do a documentary about that. How cool. I got to go up in a balloon. You know, so, and you talk to these people and going, you know, you do this every year and why? And so you hear their stories and you meet so many really amazing people. The planet is full of just so many cool people, and I get to meet a lot of them.
So I feel that with you, you've always had, like you said, these blessings or this good luck coming your way. Has there ever been a moment where you've said, why am I doing this? This is not what I want to be doing, or had a...
No.
It's just always been a joy for you.
Yeah, well, there's been situations, financial situations, where it's been very stressful and very difficult. And this point in my career, like if anyone's listening, I'm going, it's tough to do. Even though I've done all these different things, people want young, fast. So right now, for me to find projects and find funding for projects is very, very, very difficult because the world has changed. Everybody with a camera and a computer as a writer, director, producer, cinematographer, and can go out and do things, which is fantastic, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the clients I used to have, I don't have anymore because, you know, they move on, and the business moves on. And, you know, a lot of the companies that I used to work with, they don't have the budgets anymore to do these sort of things, or they do it in-house. So the climate has changed dramatically for filmmakers. And I think if the filmmakers are listening, they're all shaking their head yes, going, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Unless you're living in LA and you're doing it, or New York. Chicago has a good scene, but it's tough to make a living nowadays.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, people are gravitating towards LA and New York still. But I met you through stage32.com, and what I liked about the principle of that is you could network from anywhere in the world with people of various talents for your project. How much have you used that as a resource?
Not enough yet. I've only been on it for 4 or 5 months, I think. I'm still looking at different things, and I'm putting stuff out. But I think it's a very, very important site, like LinkedIn, like Twitter. Everything, like some people hate Facebook for marketing, and they use it to, you know, show what their kid had for dinner. I use Facebook mostly for marketing, mm-hmm. Like I use LinkedIn, like I use Stage 32. All these things are ways to reach people in different ways, because you're on a bus or you're at a movie theater, you look around, everyone is looking at their handheld device nowadays. Mm-hmm. That's the world we live in. So you've got to enter that world. You got to be part of it.
Right. And Stage 32, it's more than a directory. It's truly, you have meetups in specific areas in the lounge.
Yep.
So if you are just photographers trying to solve something, you can talk technically with other photographers.
Or exactly.
Or you're looking to hire different actors or actors.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the Internet Ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Hey, everybody. Listen to the Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to the Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer.
Run! Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak sailing. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
You know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers would use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that gets you up to the front in all the right places. It's cannabis energy. It seems the faster you go, the more cannabis energy you need. So if you want to win, you have to have lots of cannabis energy. And the swellest way I know to get it is just by using Green Army Skincare. Boy, they're just cram full of cannabis energy. There are more cannabis energy units in one lip balm tube than you use circling the base 10 times or when you ride your bike 4 miles across the city. And it's fast acting. Why, no sooner that you apply some balm to your mouth or pain areas, you practically feel the new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Green Army Skincare is a good, wholesome product. They're made with body-nourishing cannabis and other natural ingredients. So go out there today and pick up some Green Army skincare products from your local cannabis procurement center. Join the GreenArmy.com.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite you down to Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District in San Francisco. At 806 South Van Ness, we've got great food by our kitchen counter offer. Burgers, tater tots, tachos, corn dogs, all sorts of good stuff like that. They're open from opening until 11 p.m. most days of the week, except Saturday. Every Saturday night, we've got live rock and roll, some of the best local bands in San Francisco and touring acts as well. Come on down, 10 p.m., rock and roll, only night of the week. We have a $5 cover charge, always $5 for live rock and roll. We're open from 4 p.m. until 2 a.m. Monday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 to 2. Come on down, have some drinks with us. We've got Whiskey Wednesday, Tequila Tuesday, and we've always got the Steve McQueen special, shot of bullet bourbon and a can of California lager for $8. Come down and enjoy our patio. It's open in the afternoon, not really in the evening, but a lot of good folks hanging out back there. Come on down, give us a shout. Drop by the bar, make some friends. Thanks, folks. Bender's Bar and Grill in the heart of the Mission District, San Francisco, California.
With a happy hour every Monday through Friday until 7 p.m. Don't miss it. Go to Bender's Bar. Big supporter of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival 2018.
Oh, yeah, it goes down. Come smoke with your boy, Grinder.
Spark is San Francisco's premier cannabis dispensary with a focus on serving and educating patients for 7 years. Spark is dedicated to creating the best in-store experience with its extensive menu, friendly staff, and one of the few cannabis vape lounges in San Francisco. Spark welcomes you to visit its two great locations as a medical patient or for recreational adult use in 2018. Spark is located at 1256 Mission Street between 8th and 9th and at 473 Haight Street at Fillmore. Both locations are open until 10 p.m. every night. Spark staff looks forward to serving you. Coming at these bitches and all these snitches, hitting switches, going rags to riches. Rainbow Grocery, a worker-owned and operated food cooperative located at 1745 Folsom Street in the Mission District of San Francisco. Let's hear what locals have to say about Rainbow Grocery.
Their bulk section is dope AF.
I love their variety of cheese and home decor items and this of unique items that you can't find anywhere else.
Their cheese section is insane.
I love Rainbow Grocery because it's the number one grocery store to shop at when you're having a potluck and need to fulfill everyone's dietary needs.
They don't have meat. Rainbow Grocery Cooperative, an amazing San Francisco staple since 1975.
For all your space chicken, sci-fi, comedy, non-political humor needs, go to timstesseract.com. Read fiction about the future of San Francisco after the water wars of 2121 in Jane 6. Ask a Jedi for important life hacks. Eat flesh with the Bear Exoskeleton Contessa. And check your horror horoscope on Horoscopia. Updated every 3 parsecs. TimsTesseract.com.
TimsTesseract.com.
So you want to be a comic? It's not as easy as we make it look, but that's because Mutiny Radio has 8 hours a week of open mic stage time for all your comedy workout needs. Strain those improv muscles every Sunday from 4 to 6 at Getting Sketchy with David Stolowitz. Press out those new jokes every Monday, 6 to 8 on Joke Workshop, with 4-minute sets and 4-minute critiques from everyone kept positive by host Pam Benjamin. Pump those dick jokes every Thursday, 7 to 9 with True Hustle Thursdays, hashtag THC. That's hashtag THCT. You want more open mics? Fridays, 6 to 8. Happy hour with guest host and George D. Smith. Pew, pew, pew. 4 open mics every week at Mutiny Radio, brother.
Come in after work and take a seat at Asiento, a great place to meet friends, have delicious tapas and drinks, and relax with your neighbors. Located at Bryant and 21st Street in the Deep Mission, Kitty Corner Block for Mutiny Radio. Come and get a drink during the Comedy Festival and enjoy happy hour pricing all night long with your festival ticket. A great neighborhood bar, come take a seat at Asiento.
The Roxy Theater is San Francisco's favorite nonprofit art house cinema, bringing you the best, coolest, weirdest, most thought-provoking movies of the past, present, and future. Hands down, there is no better way to get your film fix than at this legendary historic theater. Visit www.roxy.com. That's www.roxie.com today for showtimes and tickets.
Everybody should listen to Mutiny Radio at mutinyradio.fm. It's a great place to listen to crazy things.
They drink around the corner somewhere else, not here. But come to Happy Hour every Friday from 6 to 8 with Trina Roderick.
Yeah, do that.
Hey people, this is the Flat Black Plastic Show, coming to you directly live from the corner of 21st and Florida. Enjoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Red Fox.
Well, most of you know that I'm a war veteran. You can see I was shot in the face. See, a sniper threw a hand grenade and exploded and tore my other face away. And a team of doctors grafted skin, grafted more skin, made me a new face. I don't know where they got the meat from, but every time I get tired, my jaws want to sit out. I can talk about World War II because I don't know too much about Vietnam, but I know World War II. I'm a veteran. I backed up so far in one battle, I bumped into a general. He said, "Why are you running?" I said, "I'm running because I cannot fly." People ask you a whole lot of dumb stuff under pressure. I was overseas for one battle I'll never forget. 3 days we fought that night. Hand-to-hand combat, karate, judo, rifle butts, tanks, flamethrowers, bazooka guns, 200 to 1. Toughest Japanese soldier we ever ran into. But nothing yell about him. He was just mean. I was a paratrooper for a long while. A lot of people know my exploits in the paratroops. One time, the sergeant is getting instructions to all the soldiers how to use a parachute. He said, look, you guys, you jump out of the plane, you count to 10, pull the ripcord, the chute will open and float you down with the equipment. But one little paratrooper didn't hear the sergeant too well, and besides, he stuttered a little bit when he talked, and he walked over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, how high? Ted, how high did Ted, you say we were supposed to go? How high did you say we were supposed to count to? Sergeant looked at him and said, you better count to one.